salmon.
Y'all pray for me, my voice is going out.
That will be, and we know.
done a great job, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job. We want to take a few minutes and recognize some fathers. We want to, first of all, recognize our oldest father. Do we have any fathers older than 80? Any older 80? Any 80 or older? I thought, huh? 84. 84, Ray. What are you, Harvey? 82. Okay. Any older than 84? Jay stood up. Is he older than 84? Amen. All right, Brother Ray. Amen. Wave your hand, let everybody see you. Amen. Amen. Now here's one Jay's going to try to jump on, the youngest father. Do we have any fathers younger than 25? Any younger than 30? All right. Rob, Brother Rob, all right. I'm going to ask you to stand. Amen. All right. Father with the most children present, do we have a father with four or more children present today? Do we have three or more present today? Father with three or more children present today. Alrighty. What about two? I know we got some with two. How many fathers with two? Chad? Any others? All right. Brother Chad. Okay. And then with the name. I thought you was gonna claim three, honey. That's fine. He's a good. And then we want to recognize all of our fathers today. With all of our fathers, please stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you all. We sure appreciate you. Appreciate each and every one. Does anyone have anything on their heart this morning? Coming a good day, ain't you, Brother Ray?
No way you can get through the room.
Any others?
I'd like to say something.
This will be all. If you would, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 17. Found your place, if you would stand with me as we read God's word in honor of his word this morning. Luke chapter 1 verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your blessings. We're so thankful, Lord, today for a lot of godly men that we know and have had in our past and in our lives. I thank you for my earthly father. Thank you for my heavenly father. I thank you for the ones that I still in this church today look up to as a father figure. I thank you for the ones in the past. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your many wonderful blessings. And Father, we pray you'll add your blessings to the reading of this word. God, you'd anoint the old preacher boy one more time. Father, I'm unworthy to stand here, but I pray you'll make me usable. Forgive me and cleanse me. Help me to be what you want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, today's Father's Day, and the title of the message is John the Baptist's Example to Fathers. His example, as we'll look here a little bit, but there was a preacher had give his congregation and asked them a week or two before Father's Day to write down what they thought fatherhood stood for. And this was one of I believe this one person wrote all this, but what is fatherhood? And said, fatherhood is getting to go anywhere you want to for Father's Day, getting to drive there, and even getting to pay the bill. It's getting up in the middle of the night to see what the noise was outside when you really would rather stay in bed and hide like everyone else. It's the best excuse in the world to buy all those toys you wanted as a child never got. It's catching yourself watching cartoons when no one else is home and enjoying them. It's biting your tongue and remembering to be a good example when someone cuts you off on the highway. It's playing Santa and then getting the privilege to pay 22% for the next 36 months. It's assembling toys that require one screwdriver and a nuclear physicist to assemble. It's praying for, hoping for, and anxiously looking forward to the day when your kids get out of the house and on their own, and then trying to postpone that day as long as possible when it approaches. It's carrying sleepy kids into the house when you're too tired to even carry yourself in. Yes, fatherhood is sometimes a thankless job of fixing kites, breaking up fights, whipping up chocolate milk. It's dental bills, broken arms, and skateboards. But today, Dad, we want to say we appreciate you and all you do. Amen. Want to think now on the message here of John the Baptist and what an example of fathers in this passage said that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he had a big job to do, John the Baptist did. And I don't know, and I'll get it a little later on in the message, hope to get around to it, exactly
He was at a very crucial time. He had to step in and take a hold of the past and a hold of the future and tie them together. What a tremendous place, a very unique responsibility and ministry that John the Baptist had. And we all think of him just baptizing folks. But he did a whole lot more than that. The Jews' hearts were greatly different from the forefathers in this time. There was a lot of opposition and beliefs within the families and within the tribes. And there was the sect of the Pharisees. There was the sect of the Sadducees. And they were so different in their beliefs. And a lot of these beliefs would be in the same family. And it caused division and a lot of stuff, a lot of things, and they were a lot different than their forefathers had been. Their families were pulled apart, and today our families are pulled apart. So many pulled in so many different directions. But John came to direct to Jesus, to bring to Jesus Christ, to open up the way and to introduce folks to Jesus. I think that's a great example and a great responsibility for the fathers today. That he had, his goal was to make sure that everybody heard about Jesus Christ. And to bring to mind that we need to repent. To bring the Jews and the Gentiles together. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that, aren't you? But in Luke chapter 7, in verse 28, the Bible said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of a woman, there is none, not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Now these are words in red. These were from Jesus. And he said there were not a greater prophet born of a woman than John the Baptist. Want to look here for a few minutes at the secrets to John's greatness. Want to look at some things that really made him great. His life showed, first of all, his life showed the fullness of God's Spirit. He was a man filled with the Spirit of God. He was led of the Lord in Malachi 4. And verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." He was a man that was led of the Lord. He was Spirit-filled. He allowed God to move and minister, and he followed the directions of the Lord. It was, and this really jumped out at me as I was studying and looking at this. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, 'This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him.'" When Jesus came ministering and the fame was made known that this man, Herod, thought it was John the Baptist. Wow. I don't know, that really got a hold of me when I was looking at this and thinking of that. I tell you, what we need today is some folks, some fathers and some folks in the world today that people will mistake their life for the life of Jesus. Amen. His life was so good. He lived so good of a life and was so sold out and so led of the Spirit that when Jesus came, Herod said, "This has got to be John. Nobody has ever done like this. Nobody has ever lived like John the Baptist." Woo! Boy, wouldn't you like that to be said about you? Wouldn't you like that to be said, that there's nobody that's had the example and has set the example and lived a life like such and such has. Woo! Praise the Lord. Oh, that we had some. He was led of the Spirit, and he wasn't a man pleaser. He wasn't real popular. They knew he was a man of God, but I'm telling you, he'd look you right in the eye and tell you what was what. Boy, we could use that today, couldn't we? We could use some men that'll look you right in the eye and you might not like what he says, but it'll be the truth. And he'll stand behind it. But you know, I've looked and I thought of this, and he said that not a man born of a woman was greater than him, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Whew. The gospel dispensation, the dispensation of grace that we live in today, the least born into this kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, is what Jesus said. Being what a tremendous blessing that it is to be able to be saved. To be able to become a child of the living God. That God would forgive us of our sins and wipe them all away and do away with them and say, that is my child, that's my son, or that's my daughter. What a blessing that it is to live within this period of time that we are living in, the period, the dispensation of the church or of grace. Thank God for grace. Today, that more and more that we need some men that'll be filled with the Spirit and Spirit-led, and the families will recognize it and follow them where God would lead them. I looked and we seen that his life showed the fullness of God's Spirit. His life also showed the continual self-denial and taking up his cross. In Matthew 3, verses 1 through 4, the Bible said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And the thought of this locust and wild honey, this was a sign of his poverty and humility. He was a humble man. His number one goal was not to make John more comfortable, was not to have the best clothes, not to have the best things, not to eat the best food. His number one goal was that he proclaimed that he did God's will. He denied himself. Self-denial. I tell you, boy, this is not real popular today. Folks, to deny ourselves. And he denied himself, and his number one goal was preaching repentance and the kingdom of God. He also took up his cross daily and followed. He chose to suffer for Christ's sake. To suffer for the sake of the gospel. In Hebrews 11:24, the Bible said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Moses said, I'll not live a life of sin. John the Baptist said, I'm going to live my life consecrated unto the Lord. If you remember that when Mary came in to his mother Elizabeth, when she was pregnant with John the Baptist, he was filled with the Spirit in her womb. Said that the child leaped when Mary came in. Wow, he dedicated his whole life to the Lord, to the work of the Lord. I tell you that we as men today and ladies also, we ought to be dedicated to the work of the Lord. Ought to be the number one thing that we deny ourselves, and our selfish desires and what we want would be way on the back burner. That it be the foremost would be of doing God's will in our lives. Following what He would have us to do, being sure that our families know the Lord. Matthew 16:24, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus to His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." You know, let's deny ourselves and follow Him and lead our families. Lead others in the direction that we ought to go. And before I go on to the next one, I want to ask, how many families has been sacrificed for worldly pleasures? Self-satisfaction. Trying to get ahead. Trying to do things better and have things better for our families. And that's all well and good. But I tell you, a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll sacrifice our families to get ahead, to do things. And I've even heard preachers say, "I missed it. I was so involved in the work that everything had to do with the church, and that I missed my kids growing up, and I blew it with my children." I've heard that out of godly men. And fellas, if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up and so tied up and into things that's okay, but we'll get carried away and we'll lose our families. We'll sacrifice them for the things of the world. Boy, I sure hate to think that. Important that we are careful, that we deny ourselves and put God first. His life showed the fullness of God's Spirit. It showed the continual self-denial. And the third one, it showed His fervent desire to make Christ known. Matthew 3:1. The Bible said, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness." I like that. When he came preaching. That was his goal, was preaching. It wasn't to be popular. It wasn't to be somebody that looked upon. It wasn't to be somebody admired. He came preaching the gospel. He came doing what God had called him to do. He came to pave the way and let people know about Jesus Christ. He said he came preaching repentance and baptizing in repentance, but he also wore whatever crowd he was in. He did not have his own agenda. He did not have anything. No matter what crowd he was in, he made Jesus Christ known. He said statements like, "He must increase and I must decrease." He said that his shoes I'm not worthy to tie or untie. He went and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." His job was to let everybody around him know that Jesus was the way. There was a new sheriff in town. Things were getting ready to change, and religion as the old is changing to something new, and it's changing to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And without Him, you're not going to make it, he was saying. Without Him, He is going to be the only way that you'll get to heaven. And this morning, I'll still say the same words. Without Jesus Christ, calling upon Him as your Lord and Savior, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You will not make it to heaven. It takes that personal relationship. See, he didn't pick his crowds. He preached the same gospel to everybody. His life was the same message. He stood and looked folks in the eyes and told them right and wrong. Do we do that in our lives? Or do we pick our crowds? You know, some crowds it's easy to witness in. Some crowds it's easy to let our light shine. In other crowds it's not so easy. It's all about Jesus. See, our families need to hear that. Our families need to see us living it out in front of them. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren need to know who Jesus Christ is to us. They need to know and to set the example of how important that our daily devotion and our daily life with Jesus Christ is. Does your family know your testimony? Does your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids know your testimony? Have they heard you say that I'm glad I'm saved? I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. I'm so glad that I'm... God changed my life. Is your whole family saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? See, it's important that we're fervent in making Christ known. Does our co-workers know our testimony? Do they know that we're saved? Do they know what church we attend? Do they know what the preacher preached on Sunday? The preacher don't even know what he preaches most of the time afterwards. And also, the fullness of God's Spirit, his life showed the continual self-denial, his fervent, the desire to make Christ known, and also his fidelity and courage in rebuking immorality. Matthew 14, 3 and 4, it said, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." He looked Herod right in the eye and says, "It's not lawful you have your brother's wife." That cost him his life. Herodias, of course, we know the story that her daughter done a dance before him and it pleased him. And he said, "You can have anything you want." And she went to her mom and said, "What to ask?" She said, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." And it cost John his life. His life was above reproach. John's was. And he was able to declare the wrongness of sin. I want to share with you, this also, I want to brag on our children's church and our Sunday school workers. And Becca, the 8-year-old, got chosen for all-star team. And she'd been playing this past week. And the championship game was Friday evening. And I got to go. And, of course, one of the big things is the concession stand. So I was at the concession stand, and Rachel was there. And one of the little girl was with Rachel. And one of Rachel's uncles had bought her a little icy. And when she opened the top of it, she said, "I really wanted a green one." And I said, "Well, honey, you've already got the red, and so just go ahead and take what you got. You've opened it." And there was a little girl there beside her, her little buddy, and she said, "Well, just throw that one away and tell them you want another one. And tell them you beat that and you'd like another one, and you get the one you want." And never missed a beat, she turned around that little girl and said, "That would be a sin. It's a sin to lie." I said, "Wow. Praise the Lord." See, it's real to her. And she said it. She didn't pick her crowd. She didn't say it in Sunday school. She said it out in the world. She took a stand against sin and said, "It'd be wrong to do that, and I'm not going to do it." Praise the Lord. I thank you all. The workers and the teachers, and the other Sunday when he's going home, they were talking about sin. Thank God they're in a Bible-believing church that'll teach against sin, that sin's wrong, and it'll send you to hell. Thank God that I'm glad that our children's under sound doctrine and sound teaching like that. That's why Sunday school's important. That's why children's church is important. That's why getting into the house of God's important, that our children know right from wrong. Amen. John stood for what's right, no matter it cost him his life. He took a stand and stayed with it. And the last thing that his life showed, that he was an instrument used to tie the old paths and modern life together. But until I really started studying, the last two verses in the Old Testament is a prophecy of John the Baptist. And I read them earlier, Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He came as the last Old Testament prophet. He stood in the threshold between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He came with all of the things of the prophets in the past, all of the forefathers, all of the patriarchs, all everything that they stood for. He came standing for that. But he also stood on the brink of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He brought the old paths into life and tied it in with the future and with the now. And boy, as fathers, and I thought about this, and as men, that as we stand as a threshold, and we've got to bring the good old things of the past and use it in today's culture. And not get hung up on things, but come and let it be known that this is what the forefathers done, and this is what salvation, and this is what godly living is, and then be able to tie it in to today's living. Well, that's a pretty big responsibility. John had a big responsibility. Fathers, today's got a huge responsibility. We have to tie those things together. See, the gospel is the cutting edge. The gospel is forever new. It never gets old. It ought not anyway. I thank God for the gospel. I thank God for saving my soul. I thank Him for what it stands for. I thank Jesus Christ for everything He's done for me. It's the cutting edge. It's the new thing. It's the next thing around the park. It's the greatest thing that's ever come to this world is Jesus Christ. And to go through this life without Him, that we'll miss eternal life. See, He represents the example of the past and the example of faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible said He prepared their hearts. He prepared them, got them ready for the coming of the Messiah. And fathers and men today, and the ladies also and all, that it's our job to prepare hearts for the next coming. He's coming back. He's coming back to get His church. And if we're not saved and not born again, we'll miss it. See, the father's job is to... I want to look at this verse, if you're still in Luke 1, 17. Because I want to change, not that I'm changing anything, but I just want to put something a little different. I want to put a different interpretation on this last of this verse this morning. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready his family prepared for the Lord. See, the Father, we got to be sure that our family's prepared. As men, we need to be sure our family's prepared. Our family, of course, me and Rhonda, but I've also taken on the responsibility of the whole family. I feel responsible. And sometimes, and not very often, but sometimes I'll make a decision for the whole family. I did recently. They were okay with it, but I took a stand and I made a decision and I said, this is what we need to do as a family. And guess what? That's what we did. Not that I was exercising anything out of line or anything, but I concerned for my family. And sometimes we have to make tough decisions. Sometimes we have to stand up when it's not popular. Sometimes we have to say things that's not popular. See, it's our job to be sure our family is prepared and protected from the things of the devil. It's a big responsibility. I jotted down three things to encourage us is to be prepared. And this morning, the most important question that I ask you, the most important thing that I want to go across your mind this morning is, are you prepared? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you asked Him to come into your heart? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Have you asked Him to cleanse you and fill you with the Spirit of God and to make heaven your home? I tell you this morning, if you've never made that decision, I'm going to give an opportunity here in a little bit. And I urge you to come. I urge you to, I don't care, man, woman, boy, or girl. I don't care. This morning, that is open to all. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't remember calling upon Him. I tell you, I'd be scared to leave without it. First thing is be prepared. The next thing is act prepared. If we claim to be a Christian, live like a Christian. And the third thing is be sure that our family's prepared. Be sure that our family is prepared. I want to read a little short poem and then Father's Day is a special day. Father's Day is a special day when we remember Dad. But God was the only father that Jesus ever had. When he was a little boy, he loved his father so that he desired to please him wherever he would go. So this Father's Day, like Jesus, honor Dad in all you do and reflect the love of Jesus for the Heavenly Father too. I like that when I seen that. Harry C. Baxendine III. But as we close and we come and prepared, I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if Jesus came today or your life ended today, that you're ready to meet Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you, Father, for watching over us and taking care of us the way that you do. Lord, we thank you for Father's Day. Thank you, Lord, for my father. My dad, I loved him. What a great example. But I thank you for the day that I was brought into the family of God, that I am now a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for that privilege. And Father, that we thank you for our fathers this morning. And Lord, I ask you today that you would touch our men and our women, but you'd help us, God, to be everything you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to page 620. Page 620.